Mike and I took the liberty of adapting it a little bit to our current situation without changing the underlying meaning. So I'll be reading our adaptation. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about the coronavirus, whether it will spread or not, or about your body, if you contract it or not. Is not life more than toilet paper and hand sanitizer? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about containing the coronavirus? The flowers of the field grow because God makes them grow. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in his wisdom, could control such things. And if that is how God creates the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more does God sovereignly control this situation, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we do, or where shall we go or not go, or how will we keep our kids from getting too bored for the next 2 weeks or more? For the media creates fear from all these things, and your heavenly Father holds them all in his hand. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and your heavenly Father will take care of you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning. And Father, we acknowledge the words of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, you call us not to worry. And I think if we're all honest, we do admit to worrying, God. Father, teach us from your word this morning, each and every one of us, from young to old, teach us from your word, your truth, so that we can live in obedience, so that we can live by faith, so that we can trust, and God, so that we can reach out to a nation and a community that is filled with fear right now and tell them about your goodness, God. So, Father God, may your spirit move this morning as we look into your word and speak your truth. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was substituting last Friday for Mr. Morris. If you don't know who that is, Mr. Morris is the art teacher at the high school. And I warned him, I said, look, if you want me to teach these kids art, I can teach them how to draw stick figures. But that's about the extent of my knowledge and skills. Well, at the end of the day, over the PA, Principal Kirby came over the PA and said, school is going to be canceled for at least the next 2 weeks. And so everyone's mind started racing. Mine in particular, I'm thinking, okay, the next 2 weeks minimum, no school. So what's that mean? My kids and what they're involved with, all the UIL stuff, all the activities, which I love. I tell the coaches, take my boys and run until they drop. You know, none of that. No competition. No competitions going on. What about prom? Prom's been postponed. Lord, why so drastic a move? What about the men's retreat that's coming up? Are we going to have that at this point? Yes. What about graduation? Lord, what about all these things? What about, from what I discern, what about toilet paper? What about toilet paper? Lord, I have to be honest, one of my greatest fears so far is running out of this stuff. You're like, what? Listen, when I was a Boy Scout, I went camping one time at I can't remember exactly where, somewhere in Texas, and I forgot this precious stuff. You know, I was thinking about it. It's like, Lord, how can this be used for good? And I'm like, I know. If anyone needs toilet paper, we'll have an auction, and all the money will go to the church for ministry. You know, I'd be up here saying, can I have five? So $5, five, give me five, give me 10, 25, 30, 30, 30. See, you can take any situation, use it for good. But The truth is, we're filled with fear. Our community is filled with fear. Maybe not any one particular person, but overall, we're filled with fear. And Jesus understands this about us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. He understands that we struggle with worry and fear. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In 10 verses, 6 times, he uses the term worry. He talks about it. He explains it to us. He challenges us. Now, what exactly is worry? What is worry? Ryan, you ever worry about worrying? What is worry? Well, worry, if you can see that, is a fear of uneasiness based on a possible future. A possible future. It hasn't come to pass yet, right? We can deal with what's happening right at the moment. It's what we're afraid of is going to happen, right? The what ifs, the yeah buts. That's what we're, and it's very speculative, and it's rooted in the fact that we want to have control. Let's be honest with ourselves. Fear and worry are based on the fact that we want to have control. And with coronavirus, the truth is, no one does, except for God. No one has control over it. That's what makes us so worried about it. But when we think, I've got control, then we think, gosh, then this is on me. I have to somehow deal with this. I have to somehow fix this. You know what it does? It puts the whole world in your hands instead of his. It's about control. It's not the same as concern, by the way. It's being overly concerned. You see, worry rents space in your head. You ever thought of it that way? What worry does is it rents space in your head. By the way, it's not being passive either. That's not the right response. Being passive, going, Hakuna Matata, like the Lion King, Hakuna Matata, you know, just going around and singing that. That's not the right response either. God, you got this. I'm going to act like I don't have any proper response to this. Hakuna Matata, I'm going to do whatever I want. No, that's the wrong response too. It's not being passive. But here's the biggest thing about worry. The biggest thing, let me back up, sorry, is that it erodes your relationship with God. It literally starts eroding your relationship with God. You start losing your faith in God. And here's the biggest thing about worry. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. How much time have you wasted worrying? How much energy has it stolen? How many opportunities have you missed? It robs us, it chokes us, it defeats us. It can keep us up all night. And then it keeps us in bed in the morning, right? You ever been there? It gives us a false sense, an unhealthy sense of wanting to control everything, thinking if I worry enough, have you ever done this? If I worry enough, then maybe it'll be okay. If I worry enough, then it will happen. And that's just not true. That's just not true. Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, is preaching his first sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6, he's talking about three snares in our lives. He's talking about the snare of the fear of man. He's talking about the snare of the lure of money. And now he's talking about the snare of worry itself. And he's got a bottom line. He tells us don't. But he's not just going to leave it at that. You ever been frustrated by someone who you're doing something and they say, don't? Maybe your parents have done, don't. But then they don't tell you why, and you're like, well, why not? Well, Jesus is going to tell us why, and he's going to tell us how. But first, let's talk about the why. Look with me, chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? See, when we start worrying about things, it's ultimately the reason why is we have an anemic view of God, right? I had a professor who used to say, how big is your problem? Well, the real issue is, how big is your God? Is God big enough to handle the coronavirus? Or is he just up there biting his nails going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I mean, we all know the answer to that, right? God's not up there biting his nails. He's not up there fretting. He's actually with us. He's going to work the situation out. Can I tell you exactly when and how? No, I cannot. I'm not God. But he is. I believe he is. It says in the Bible not to worry, because worry divides you. This life, there's more to this life than just the physical. There's a spiritual aspect to this whole thing. And we get focused on thinking horizontally, and we totally forget about the vertical. We totally forget about that. We totally forget about it. You know, Judy and I have been talking, my wife and I have been talking about the fear-mongering that's been going on through the media. And I'm like, who ultimately is in control of this? It's not our president. It's not our vice president. It's not our doctors. And President Trump recognizes this, because he called a national day of prayer for a reason. Because he knows undeniably who's in control. And that's the Lord God himself. God is in control. Why not worry? Because God is in control. And I know that's a simple answer, but it's a profound truth. He literally is in control. He is in control of absolutely everything. So it's like, okay, I know this here. Help me to understand how not to worry. How can I not worry? And the first thing I want to remind us of is that God provides. God is our provider. Look with me at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And he says, aren't you much more valuable to him than a bird, a little sparrow? Yet God cares for these sparrows. He provides for these sparrows. You're worth infinitely more than these sparrows. I mean, Jesus Christ died for you. That's how much you're worth. He gave his life for you. You're worth infinitely more. Listen, when I was growing up, I grew up in a single parent home, and my mom taught at a private school. Okay? I know teachers make the big bucks, right? Teachers, any amends to that? I don't hear any. Well, private school teachers make even a lot less. As a matter of fact, my mom made $13,500 a year at the private school. $13,500 a year. And yet God provided a shelter over my sister and I's head. God provided food. Obviously, I never went hungry, you know. I have not gone hungry. I did not go hungry. God provided everything that we needed. So, can worry add anything to our lives? Jesus says no. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Or another way to translate is your height. If you worry enough, will you grow taller? No. No, it won't. It can steal away from your life, but it's not going to add to it. You know, when I called Lauren yesterday, I called him because his wife Linda has struggled with lung issues. And we want to be very intentional. We want to be very cautious. We want to make sure. We don't want to put anybody at risk. And I called Lauren up, and I'm like, Lauren, you know, I just want to touch bases with you. We are going to worship tomorrow. But we love you guys, and we don't want to put you at risk. And Lauren's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I understand if you choose not to go and worship, we're going to record the service and put it out there. It's going to be on the internet. You can listen to it. Hopefully, if everything works right, you can even watch it. He's like, you know what? He's like, what are you talking about, Mike? We're coming. I'm like, okay. He's like, and the thing he said, and he quoted it, he said, the Lord has numbered our days. If this coronavirus thing is going to get a hold of us and it's our last days, then that's because that's the way God has decided to work things out for us. And by the way, as another side thought, we get so focused on the present now, we are so focused on the present that we forget our future, right? We're planning on going to Colorado, and we're not sure we're going to go anymore. They're closing everything down. But here's the thing. You know what my future is? If God lets me choose where I'm going to live, and some of you already know this, if he's going to let me choose where I'm going to live, at the end of Revelation, it talks about the new heavens and the new earth. You know where I'm headed? I am headed to the mountains. and I am going to have this amazing, phenomenal log cabin. And I'm going to have the porch swing. And I'm going to have a mirror lake right in front of me. And I'm going to have two big dogs. Okay, not as big as yours, Jenny. She's got a Great Dane, not that big. But I'm thinking like golden retrievers that actually obey you. Anybody had a golden retriever? Nobody laughed. Didn't nobody have them? You know what those things are like? Mine will obey me, my every command. I'm going to be there just kind of rocking, just enjoying life. That's my future. God has a future for you too. Your best life is not now. That's just not true. Your best life is then. We lose sight of that. We lose sight of that. Can worrying add a single hour to your life? No, it cannot. When God decides to call you home, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You are going home. Is that such a bad thing? I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. It doesn't stop there. Jesus uses ordinary, everyday things. He's like, look at these birds. Now he's like, look at these flowers. He's like, y'all have clothes. Look at the flowers. The flowers in the field, do they labor? Do they spin? It's like, no. I tell you, even Solomon, with all his splendor, wasn't dressed like him. King Solomon, if you don't know who he is, one of the greatest kings that's ever lived. Wisest man besides Jesus who ever lived. People would travel from all around the world, which they didn't have jets back then. They would travel to just sit at his feet and say, hey, I have a question about this. I have a question about this. How should I respond to this? What should I do about that? He has all this wisdom. He has all this money. He had so much silver that there was absolutely no value to silver. Okay? It's like copper pennies now. No value. He had so much. He had so much that he could clothe himself in the most beautiful clothing, purple clothing, because purple is the color of royalty. And yet Jesus, looking at these flowers, said, what Solomon wore is nothing compared to how God clothed this little flower. I mean, if you would study the texture of one of those leaves, it would absolutely amaze you. Why do you worry about clothes? Jesus says. See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, not even clothed in all his splendor, was dressed like, and he points at him, one of these. If God, or rather, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, won't he not much more clothe you? And then gets at the heart of the issue. You don't have a lot of faith. You're not trusting God. I mean, flowers have a brief existence. We were created to live forever. So he says, God's going to meet your basic needs. I don't see anybody here naked. God has clothed. God has given you the clothes that you need. Just look in your closet. Look at the shoes. Anybody here got more? No, I'm not going to ask. I was going to say more than like a 10 pair or something. He gives you what you need. God is our great provider. And by the way, he's our heavenly Father. He's your heavenly Father. Look with me at what the Word of God says. Verse 31, so don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The people who don't know God, pagans, they run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows. He knows that you need them. He knows. He's basically saying people that don't have a relationship with God, who don't know the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ and haven't put their faith in him, they should be worried. They should worry. But those of us who've trusted in Christ, we shouldn't worry. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We don't have to rely on our resources, our intellect, our skills, or our strength. We can rely on our Heavenly Father. And remember, you are infinitely more important than the birds and the flowers that exist today. He is, as Chris Tomlin's song goes, a good, good Father. I encourage you to listen to that song when you start to doubt that. He is a good, good Father. And I guess my question is, do we have the faith of a child? Here's a little kid's book that speaks volumes of these children. I look at the sky, Psalm 8, which you made, and the myriad of lights glowing there. And I say, what am I that you think of me? Oh, Lord, what am I that you care? And he says, you've made me to rule this glorious world. You crowned me your child and heir. Oh, Lord, I can only sing your praise when I see, Lord God, how much you care. God, you care. You love me. You truly care about me. Because you see, he is our heavenly Father, and he is a good, good Father. So our heavenly Father is going to provide. So Jesus says, so this is what you do. When you worry, put his rule, his reign, his kingdom first, his righteousness, his way of living first. He says it this way, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. All these things. What are these things? Those things that you worry about. Like the coronavirus. He's saying God's going to get you through this. He's going to get you through this. Just like he's clothed you today. Just like he's fed you today. He's going to get you through this. So seek his kingdom. Don't look at this world and its kingdom. Look to him and his kingdom and his rule and his reign and live in a way that honors and glorifies him in righteousness. Live that way. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Put your mind on the Lord. And by the way, he's not saying this is some sort of quick fix. That's one of my concerns about us moving past this, which we will, that it'll be like another 9/11. In 9/11, the nation cried out to God and said, God, help us. And then about 3 weeks later, the nation said, we got this. And I'm like, Lord, is that how this is going to go too? When the Lord God gets us past the coronavirus? We're going to go, yeah, okay, everything's good now, God. I'll talk to you later. I'll see you later when I enter into another crisis. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, it's kind of like this kid. This kid, you know, God's kind of his fallback. And so he's got a math test, and you can see some of this stuff up there, you know. 20y plus 5x squared, if you can read that, 7x squared. And what's the answer? The answer is Jesus. You know? I'm like, you know what? Ultimately, you're right. The answer is Jesus. But don't you think Jesus would want you to study for the math test? See, but ultimately, it's about saying, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. But Lord Jesus, you're my Lord. I'm going to put your kingdom and your righteousness first. And so Jesus keeps going. He says, live in the present. Worry is all about the future, a possible future. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, the way things are going, tomorrow everything could change. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day's got enough trouble of its own. Amen. Does it not? So don't, I mean, he's not saying don't plan for the future. Plan for the future, but don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. I mean, he's got the whole world in his hands, does he not? We don't. When we take the whole world in our own hands, we start to worry. We stop sleeping at night. We don't want to get out of bed in the morning. But God never intended us to carry the weight of the world upon our shoulders. Atlas or something. He does that for us. And he's just saying, put me first. Seek me first. I will provide, not necessarily what you want, but I will provide for you what you need. Am I not your heavenly Father? I could hear the Lord saying. Am I not your Father? So the question is, so how do we respond to worry? What is Jesus teaching us? And Jesus is teaching us this. He's telling us, you need to come down from your throne. When you start to worry, the main reason why you are worrying is because you've ascended the throne. You see that? You're not seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. You are so focused on yourself in this world and this life, you've decided that you've got to take the bull by the horns, get a grip, and you're going to ascend the throne and you're going to fix this thing. And if you do that, you're going to live a life of worry. So come down from your throne and seek the King who is on his. Do you hear that? Come down from your throne. Step down from that throne and seek after the King. He's on the throne. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Seek him and go to him in prayer. Go to him in prayer. Go to him like your father. Father, I need provision. Father, I need protection. You know, I was thinking about it. And I'm like, if my kids would get a boo-boo, I mean, not so much now as they've gotten older, but when they were little and they got a boo-boo or something, who did they run to? Who did they run to? They ran to mom. They ran to mom. I got a boo-boo, mommy. I got a boo-boo. They're like, Dad, I don't do that anymore. I know you don't. But when they needed protection, when they were scared, who do they go to? This guy. They went to dad. Went to their dad. Heck, my dog even does that. Pumpkin, if you've met her, little Pumpkin. Listen, if I have Pumpkin and Judy enters the room, that little traitor will get up and join her the second she sits down. But if Pumpkin's scared, she will make a beeline for me. That's what she does, right? She gets on my lap ASAP. And you know what our Heavenly Father's saying? You need to do the same. You're scared, you're worried, make a beeline to your Heavenly Father through prayer. Cry out to him and pray to him. Call upon him and ask him to provide. He promised to. Ask him to protect. He's your Heavenly Father and he loves you. You're more valuable than anything else in this world because you are the only thing that he sent his son to save. He didn't send his son to save the birds or the flowers. He sent his son to save you. That's how valuable you are. That's who our Heavenly Father truly is. And a great place to go, and I encourage you to camp out here when you start worrying, to memorize this, to read it out loud. To read it out loud, because we're in a spiritual battle. You see, worry is on a spiritual plane. It's a spiritual battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, between the righteousness of God and the wickedness of this world. Think of it like that. Think of it like that. So when you're worried, pronounce the word of God. The word of God is powerful. The Bible says in Hebrews it's a two-edged sword. You're doing spiritual battle. Read it out loud when you're worried. What's the word of God say? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Father, thank you for how you've provided. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We're praying and crying out to you. Father God, get rid of this coronavirus. Father God, keep my family safe. Father God, keep this church family safe. Father God, keep our community safe. Father God, may anyone who's living in fear, who doesn't know Jesus, come into contact with one of us because we want to tell them about the peace and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Pray that. And look what it says God will do. He's not saying, oh, I may give you a little bit of peace, a little touch of peace, you know, I may calm you over. He's saying, and this is a promise from the living God, our Heavenly Father. He's saying, I promise to give you peace. A peace that goes beyond all understanding. This world won't be able to explain it. How can you have that kind of peace? Because it comes from my Father in heaven. And he will do what? He'll guard. He'll protect your heart and your mind through his son, Jesus Christ, who by his Holy Spirit lives within you. That's what the word of God says. So I want to encourage you this morning. When you start to worry, and you will. I have. I'd be lying if I said, no, I haven't worried. Yeah, whatever. You're gone either kind of whoop. Or you've gone Hakuna Matata. You're like, I don't care what happens. Neither response is good. When you start to worry, remember, your Heavenly Father is the great provider. Your Heavenly Father cares and loves about you. You are infinitely the most valuable thing in this world. His son died for you. So go to him. Put his kingdom first. Put his righteousness first. Go to him and pray. And pray. And your Heavenly Father give you a peace. that goes beyond all human understanding. Your Heavenly Father will guard your heart and will guard your mind through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ who lives within you by His Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. And Father, we're doing that right now. We're coming before you with prayer and petition, Father, knowing that you are hearing us. And Father God, we declare that you are the great provider. And Father, I know there are a lot of needs within this community right here and throughout our community and beyond, God. I pray that you would meet them. And Father, there may be people within our community that you're calling us to help you meet their needs. Maybe there's some kids who are in tough situations, like Marlene prayed earlier, who need some help, who need some food, God. There are kids in our school who the meals they eat come from the school. God, make us aware of who they are. Allow us the opportunity to take a bag of groceries to them and to bless them, God, and to tell them that we care about them and that you do too, God. I pray for those opportunities as well. Please provide for us, God. Please provide through us. God, I pray if anyone here this morning is struggling in their hearts and minds with worry, that they'd cry out to you, that they would put your kingdom first, that they would seek your righteousness, and God, that you would, as you promised, give them that peace that goes beyond all human understanding. God, that you would guide our hearts, or rather guard our hearts and guard our minds through the power of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, we know you will. We know you will because you promised. Because you are our Heavenly Father who loves us. So, Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.